Welcome to another episode of And For Other Things. I'm Andy Aplikowski. Today's episode is titled, Did You Mean Selling Someone Like That a Gun? It's Wednesday, February 28th, 2018, and I just watched an interview by George Stephanopoulos with the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods, Ed Stack. Mr. Stack was on ABC to announce that Dick's is no longer selling assault rifles, firearms to anyone under 21 years old, or some accessories like high-capacity magazines. I'm linking to an article by Ed Morrissey on Hot Air. You can find the link on andforotherthings.com. Mr. Morrissey, Ed's article, has a video clip of the interview if you want to watch it. You can find out this is more about grandstanding and getting some publicity than doing the right thing, since Stack admits in the video that Dick's hasn't actually sold assault rifles for the last couple of years since the Sandy Hook shooting. They actually started a new outdoors branded store where they did do that, which is now not selling them. So a little bit of a pro and con on the publicity hound here. And I think if you watch this, you can see that Mr. Stack knows, you know, Stephanopoulos asks him about, you know, are you willing to take the backlash? And he says, we support and respect the Second Amendment, and we recognize and appreciate that the vast majority of gun owners in this country are responsible, law-abiding citizens. But we have to help solve the problem that's in front of us. Gun violence is an epidemic that's taking the lives of too many people, including the brightest hope for the future of America, our kids. That's an admirable statement, and I agree that we have to get to the bottom of it. But once again, like many of us on the right, and it's kind of a hard to get your foot in the door since everyone's got an opinion on this, but simply banning the sale of new firearms to individuals is not going to stop this problem. This problem is not the guns. In fact, during this interview, Stack also admitted that they did everything by the book just last year when the actual Parkland shooter purchased a shotgun from a Dick store in Florida. He said the problem was the system. And as I pointed out in my previous podcast, the system not only failed in Florida, where they missed dozens and dozens and dozens of instances of threats and violence and actual... They had laws in place in Florida where they could have arrested this individual before he committed the crime. So, yes, the system is what's broken, not just the fact that we allow guns to be sold in this country. It's critical that we have, if we want to actually prevent another school shooting and this violence that's carrying through the country, we have to do more than just pick and choose what we want to do. And it's important too. Also, Ed Morrissey points out in his article on Hot Air that I linked to, that refusing to sell to an adult under 21 years of age who would otherwise have a legal right to purchase the firearms is discrimination. And in this case, explicitly purposeful discrimination. And that's one of these things. I've been saying that for years with smokers. We discriminate against smokers because no one likes smokers, yet we treat them like second-class citizens. And there's a lot of different things that we do like that in this country, which I'm just amazed that some of the ACLU and civil rights lawyers haven't pushed back on this. And I'm also going to point this out, that simply refusing the sale of an assault rifle, as people call them, air quotes or scare quotes in this fact, does not remove any chance of that deranged individual causing harm. The fact that you're preventing them from buying a gun isn't preventing the thoughts and the desire that's in this person's head to kill people. You can buy a shotgun, which one local TV station just found out can do some serious damage to a watermelon. And I got a link to this video because it's funny because it's a shotgun, not an assault rifle, as they say. And also, if you remember Stuart Mills, when his family owned Mills Fleet Farm, they did a more factual piece on this, and it was around 2013, where they compared a modern sporting rifle with a shotgun, a duck hunting shotgun. And I linked to this video. It's a little bit longer, but they go through and they show the effects of, you know, how many rounds it takes to from what people are calling an assault rifle, scare quotes again, to how many rounds they shoot into a piece of paper to use statistical reality or reasoning to stop the individual, shoot the individual versus a shotgun. And it's an important video just to see the assault rifles are being deemed as the most dangerous firearm in on the street, and they're not. I mean, every firearm is dangerous. I'm going to be honest about that. I'm not going to run away from that, but to go after just this one specific breed is not going to remove the threat. It's going to change the threat. That's it. They'll just use a different weapon. If they really want to kill people, it's the people, not the tools, that are doing the damage. So I don't want to spend the entire show on guns. What I want to do is talk about some of the more dangerous things in our society that we seem to not really care about. And I'm not trying to at all underplay the tragic deaths of 17 individuals in Florida, but compared to the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that die every single year by on a daily basis across the country, I don't understand the misplaced priorities, other than the simple fact that this is the same group that's been around for ever, almost, trying to take away the Second Amendment rights of Americans. And I want to go just this last weekend. Minnesota had there was a rally at the Capitol about some people who wanted tougher distracted driving laws. One of four crashes in Minnesota is caused by someone who's playing on their phone while driving. Additionally, more than 70 people are killed each year in those crashes. Now, if I looked up the national numbers, it's 3,477 people are killed every year in the United States. This is from 2015. And another 391,000 were injured by distracted driving in 2015, according to the National Highway Safety Administration. That 3,477 people were killed last year by distracted driving. But by gosh, let's drop everything, and the entire country has to focus on guns being the biggest threat out there. Let's think about this. Looking at other driving things. According to the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, there were 25,000 drunk driving arrests in 2015, with 95 fatalities. 2,200 people were injured in those by drunk driving, with 1,274 drivers were under the age of 21 that got DWIs. So let's just, okay, everyone wants to pass laws. It's illegal for a kid to drink alcohol. You have to be 21 to drink alcohol. How the heck can 1,274 people under the age of 21 have gotten arrested for drunk driving? Why, that might mean more than just those 1,274 people were out there drinking if they were under the age of 21. Laws are not going to stop people from doing things they want to do, whether they're good or bad for them. Now, also, while looking at through the state databases here, I discovered that there were two reports from the DPS on this, and I just as one said 95 fatalities, the other one listed 137 deaths. So, and this is another important thing, and this is when we get into, well, we want to study this. The way you study it and how you balance the metrics in your formulas can make a difference, because the one is people that were over the legal limit of 0.08. That was the 95 fatalities. But if you say any alcohol in their system, it's 137 people died in 2015 on the roads in Minnesota from alcohol-related deaths. It's also in the data, speed was blamed for 78 deaths, distracted driving another 74. And just the economic impact of motor vehicle accidents in the state of Minnesota was $1,773,000,000 in 2015. $1.7 billion of economic impact of motor vehicle accidents in the state of Minnesota. If we really want to help people, I mean, just everyone, if you've been lucky enough to not have a hail damage or need a new windshield or gotten a shopping cart at the least, run into your car and need to get that fixed, it's incredibly expensive to go to the auto body shops now. I mean, my truck, I drive a GMC 3/4 ton pickup truck. The mirror alone on my truck is $1,000. It's $1,000 for a mirror on a vehicle to replace. So, And let's getting back to the point of this. In the state of Minnesota, there are so many alcohol-related driving convictions or tickets out there that we've had to come up with a way to still allow people to drive cars. So we have what's called the ignition interlock device, which basically, probably know what it is, but basically, for those that don't, it's a little handheld breathalyzer type device that's plugged into your car's computer. And before your car will start, you have to breathe into it. And if it detects any alcohol, it won't let the car start. In the state of Minnesota, we have approximately 12,000 people that are using the ignition interlock device. 12,000 people are using this. Do you think that maybe alcohol is a bigger threat to kids in the state of Minnesota than whether or not they can buy guns? And if you really, really care about kids and you're really worried about the health and safety of kids, whether it be alcohol or drugs or unprotected sex, I just saw a thing on Facebook, I think, or Twitter, that they're having a problem casting for one of Bachelor or Bachelorette because of herpes now. There's too many people with herpes that want to be on the show. Do you think we maybe are doing the kids a disservice by focusing so intently on one small segment that is a very fractional, dangerous? Yes, not denying that. But more people die from car accidents and drugs and so many other things. And we're twisting and manipulating our kids into this very, very dangerous thing where when you see adults act irrationally and illogically and demonize so many people and so willy-nilly throw away the fundamental rights that we were given for a reason in this country. Now, again, I'm one of the people that's willing to have a talk about, is there a better way to do the background checks? I've pointed that out in my last episode. But it's just infuriating to watch so many people who claim to be better than the rest of us, smarter than the rest of us, controlling the media, controlling the papers, controlling members of Congress, people that can make laws, get up and flat out lie and insinuate that people like me have blood on my hands. You know, it's not fixing the problem, and it's why people like me are getting bolder and bolder. I didn't want to talk about guns anymore. But you know what? You keep talking about guns, you keep lying about me. You keep trotting out the same people or new people that give this emotional plea and da 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 that you just expect everyone to lay down and they'll say, oh, fine, okay, take away my rights, you know? And my last point, for those of you that believe these are weapons of war and that no one in the United States should have a weapon of war, why do we allow our own government? Police forces have become militarized. They have not only firearms that individuals can't buy unless to get an automatic weapon. You have to go through a pretty extreme vetting from the FBI, pay a lot of money. In, you know, MP5s and fully automatic assault rifles and other various weapons. The tanks, the armored vehicles, all of the things that in some cases literally we got surplus from the battlefields. But we're hardening our police forces to the point where they're the military too. So you can't have it both ways. If we're going to allow our police forces to become the military, but we're not going to let citizens have the same types of things, it's not that I'm suggesting we go to war with our government, but how can you know, 6 months ago we were freaking out because we thought cops shouldn't have guns because they're all shooting people. Yes, there were people that suggested. I think there was a Minnesota Democrat candidate for governor at the time, or was running for maybe city council in Minneapolis, who said he wanted to take the guns away from police. But yet, here we are when we're talking about disarming taking away the gun rights from the citizens. We're not talking about taking away those same tools from the police. So, anyways, I just so if we're really serious about trying to protect kids. Where is the call to ban the sale of electronic mobile devices, cell phones, smartphones to kids until they're 21? Where is that? Just think of all the problems kids get into, whether it be distracted driving, all of the various, if we want to talk about taking away the rights of individuals to protect them, why don't we talk about increasing the driving age? There's lots of things. If you use the same logic on guns, you can use the same logic about a lot of other things. I'm not suggesting that we do these things. What I'm suggesting is the people that are proposing these things should be consistent. If the argument is never again, why not never again for all of the other deaths that happen year after year after year? Why not propose the same types of things for other instruments, other devices, other rights? It's... we're never going to get to solving the problem of violence because of broken children and misdiagnosed mental illnesses if we don't talk about those and focus on that and what causes that and what can we actually do to fix this person and make society safe. I think it's a very, very dangerous proposition to what I believe is intentionally manipulate this argument into being guns being the only problem when, as myself and countless other people have said, if you prevent this person from buying a gun, you're not going to prevent them from still having the thoughts and desires to go and hurt people. And the people that are going to do it are going to find any way they can to do that, whether it's with a gun or not. So again, thank you for listening. This is Andy Apakowski. This is the podcast And For Other Things. Don't forget, you can find all of the links about the information I talked to on the website, andforotherthings.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast there, as well as share it on iTunes so your friends can listen too. Thank you for listening to And For Other Things. Again, I'm Andy Apakowski. God bless.